Good evening. Welcome to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sovereign. I'm an employment law and business law attorney, and I host this live weekly talk video show and this live video broadcast every Tuesday night from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Talk Radio NYC, where I have guests that discuss some of the most novel and interesting issues and challenges that employers and business owners face during these trying times. And in that regard, I'd love to welcome our guest tonight. I'm very pleased to have Ms. Sharon K. Summerfield, founder of the Nourished Executive. Sharon, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Thank you, Eric. Great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have a really important topic tonight, and I'd like to just share that with our audience, and then I'll introduce you in more of a proper background, and then we can go into our discussion, if that sounds good to you.
Sounds great.
All right, let's do it. And so our topic tonight, folks, is psychological safety in the workplace. It's a really, I think, powerful topic in these times. You know, we talk about the issue of safety. It seems to be on everyone's minds these days, and I think for good reason. And many employers now seek methods and action plans to reduce employee burnout and to ease tension between managers and workers. And they want to foster a balance for the business owners themselves. But first, before we can get to that state, we need to create an environment of safe boundaries, safe communication, and safe connection, psychological safety. This is where tonight's guest comes into play. I'm joined this evening by, as I mentioned, Sharon Summerfield, founder of the Nourished Executive. She is a mentor, a connector, an author, and a well-being coach. And we'll be talking on employment law today to describe how employers and business owners can create a psychologically safe environment in which their workers and employees can communicate with each other and with management and can learn, heal, and grow. So we'll talk about how these lessons can apply in our personal lives as well, an added bonus. And that's something we all could use right now. So with that, I also want to tell our audience listeners tonight more about Sharon K. Summerfield, who, as I mentioned, I'll say it just again, it's something important to note, is the founder of the Nourished Executive, and she is a well-being coach. She works with business professionals and their teams, sharing strategies to invest in well-being and to manage stress with the goal of preventing burnout. In addition to Sharon's extensive business background, she is also a registered holistic nutritionist and certified breath coach. Sharon holds multiple certifications in business management, project management, psychological safety, and holistic nutrition. She speaks often about the importance of moving away from work-life balance and moving towards a more holistic lens of harmonizing life, where work is one part. I like that. I think that's really powerful. Sharon is a lifelong learner, a systems thinker, a mentor, and connector. And as she says, in creating harmony, we find new ways to blend in the melodic rhythm and the dance of life. Wow. Again, Sharon, I'm really grateful to have you join us. I'm glad that you agreed to be a guest on Employment Law Today this evening.
It's great to be here, Eric.
Sure, sure thing. You know, I often ask my guest, Sharon, to tell us more about yourself. For example, how did your career initially start out? And then what prompted you to become a well-being coach and a founder of the Nourished Executive?
So my career originally started really at Neptune Terminals, which is a coal and potash terminal in North Vancouver. And I was there, I started as a receptionist and went into accounts payable. I was the first person to ever go on mat leave. There was a lot of firsts that had happened. And even though I left there in 1990, I'm still in contact with the ladies that I work the closest with, who are now all retiring, you know, more than 30 years later. And at Neptune, I didn't know anything about terms like psychological safety or bullying or any of that sort of thing, because it was things that we never had to think about. Management always had our backs. And if there was inappropriate behavior, those people were called out, either had to apologize or the company never did business with them again. So I thought all companies were like that. And when I left Neptune, moved to Whitehorse, and I quickly learned that, no, not all companies are like that. So I've worked across the sectors. I've worked in education. I've worked in health. I've worked for an association. I worked for a not-for-profit. I worked for a large engineering firm. And, you know, as roles evolved and things changed, one of the things I saw was many people were burning out. It was the burnout. There were some things sadly, with bullying. There were sadly things where people were not being included, or they would hold a meeting and then change it at the ninth hour to exclude other people who were key decision makers, part of that meeting. So after I joined Electronic Health Project, I went back to school part-time and became a holistic nutritionist. And it was around that time I founded the Nourished Executive, and with the goal of, you know, sharing strategies and helping people learn different ways of harmonizing their life with the goal of preventing burnout. And, you know, and also at that time, I'd never heard the term psychological safety. I actually had never heard that term until 2 years ago. I'd heard about getting people working in their strength zones, you know, different personality testing, about different coaches. I've heard about people talk about bullying and safe environments and health and safety, but had never heard the word psychological safety until 2 years ago.
Interesting. That background, you know, a couple of things jumped out at me, Sharon. First of all, thank you for sharing your history and some of your story with us on the show tonight. I like when listeners can be watching the show at home or listening and get a sense of whom they're listening to. You said a couple of things there, if I may, just observations. The idea that you started out sort of this very good place, this very positive work environment, and then went to a not so positive one or ones over the years. And what I find interesting about that is that often people come on the show and they found specialty because they were either in a place that was all they knew was toxicity and negative, and they worked to find the good, or they were coming from a place that was sort of all like utopian and wonderful, and they want to preserve that. But I think the fact that you had both, maybe that I imagine might inform like, oh, now I know what one is like and the other. I know this is possible. You know, I know we can have what you had at Neptune. I thought that was an interesting point. And I thought one of the points that I found interesting too, the idea that, you know, you in different industries, there's a commonality, like whether it's education or health, the issue of burnout, just like in law, employment law, whether there's, you know, in what industry you're in, the certain labor laws involving a toxic workplace or discrimination all apply. So good to hear that from you.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Many lessons learned along the way.
Yeah, such is life, right? You know,
and for yes, very true.
From the hard, you know, hardships and from the good things too. So you mentioned that for the first time. It's my next question I was wondering about here, Sharon. You mentioned you first heard the term psychological safety a couple of years ago. And I'm wondering if you can please define for our audience, how do you define psychological safety in the context of the work that you do?
In the work that I do, so I ended up 2 years ago, there's a group on LinkedIn called the HR Strategy Council. And I was part of, we call ourselves the Small and Mighty Group. So we actually wrote a white paper on psychological safety. And so I think the best definition I've come across is in this book, The Four Stages of Psychological Safety. And I love this book because I think it was something really useful that could be used in a team building environment, like strategic planning or rebuilding your team. But what I like about it is it talks about the condition of psychological safety is really to be included, where it's safe to learn, it's safe to contribute, and safe to challenge the status quo. And when you speak up, you're not going to be reprimanded or you're not going to be marginalized. You're not going to be moved to the side. Mm-hmm. So I like to, as I'm talking to people, and there's been a number of people, particularly over the last 2 years, when they start talking, I'm like, do you feel included? Do you feel it's safe to learn? Do you feel you can bring up different suggestions? Do you feel trusted? Can you be your authentic self? Can you bring, as Marcus Buckingham talks in his latest book, Love and Work, can you bring your red threads? Do you love 20% of what you do every single day? Mm-hmm. And can you celebrate that in some way? And I'm amazed how many people can't.
Yeah, absolutely. It is staggering to think how many people don't feel safe in their working environments, isn't it?
It's scary. It's sad. It's really sad because, like, when I look back to my experience at Neptune, and then, you know, a number of decades later, I joined a big infrastructure project. Neptune, we had this family. It was like a family. It was like we were there. It wasn't always roses and sunshine. I mean, it was a 24-hour operation and anything that came with that, you know, and more. So it was very busy. But it wasn't until I actually joined this big infrastructure project that was the first time in several decades that I had that family feel again, that we could, where you could actually speak up, or you could have different suggestions. And that to me was fundamental. You know, you talk about psychological safety, but we also talk about the importance of having a friend at work and that family and that support. Because sometimes when life is, you know, these work isn't, as you know, sometimes you have a client that's not that easy to work with. Or it's that you've got different people have different ideas on how you should move forward. And if you don't have psychological safety, you can't, it's very difficult to have that conversation in a respectful way.
It is, isn't it? You know, it's interesting, Sharon. First off, thank you for that great working definition of psychological safety, particularly in the workplace. And what I find interesting about that is that where there's a lot of talk these days about physical safety in the workplace, having, you know, secure doors, locking doors, alarms, you know, sort of anti-active shooter, and for obvious reasons. And that is crucial because I don't think one can feel psychologically safe if they're not physically safe. But I think like this, the emotional safety and what that means and why it's so important is something that I think might even get lost when our company is focusing too much on, okay, you know, what's our, you know, do we have to hire security guards? Do we have to do this? So I'm glad that we're talking about this now. And, you know, it's funny, we, believe it or not, we're at our very first commercial break. Time flies when you're having fun. I have to say, interesting guests. But I think maybe we'll pick up on this and other questions after the break. So I'll just let everyone know you're listening to or watching Employment Law Today. I'm your host, employment law attorney Eric Sauber. My guest tonight, Ms. Sharon Summerfield of the Nourish Executive. Stay tuned. We're going to talk more about how to set up this foundation of psychological safety and the problems that arise without it, and then the good things that happen when you have it. So this is something for the employees out there, for the employers out there, whether you're just starting out or you've been around for a long time. Stay tuned for the show. We'll be right back.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm your host, Eric Sauber. I'm here tonight with Sharon Summerfield, founder of The Nourish Executive. Sharon's a well-being coach, a connector, and a mentor as well, and an author. And our topic tonight, for those who are joining us a little bit late perhaps, is psychological safety in the workplace, right? What is it? How do we create it? Why do we need it? What are the benefits of it? And Sharon, so far, really just great hearing about your background so far, hearing your working definition of psychological safety in the workplace, I got to say, and just hearing all the other things we're talking about. Like, this is really, I think, a helpful topic for our audience of employers and employees. So I'm really glad you're here tonight with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on the show. You know, what struck me is, like, we talked a bit before about how people often think of safety and a safe workplace, and they think about, you know, hiring a security expert to make sure the windows and there's a locking door and that there's a way to lock people out who are causing harm. I think this safety in the workplace, I think you'd find it sort of as, you know, feeling that you can be free to be authentic self, right? Communicate, express yourself without, you know, fear of rebuke and punishment. I was wondering, like, maybe we can talk a little bit about this next question, which is, why is psychological safety, why is it a necessity, Sharon, a necessary foundation for employers if they want to improve their employees' connection and productivity?
I think, the last 2 years have really shown us, employees' well-being is now front and center. And I think it didn't just happen in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of things that were leading up to that. And you look at the thing that's really interesting about what I like to talk about with psychological safety that doesn't get talked about enough. Psychological safety is actually your competitive advantage. So if you are fostering psychological safety in your organizations and in your teams, and as a lawyer, you're going to be working with a variety of different teams. I know when I worked for CH2M Hill, a global engineering firm, you know, it wasn't just the team in the organization. It was the teams in multiple organizations on multiple projects. So having kind of, it's almost, maybe a code of conduct isn't the right word, but this understanding of how we're going to engage, that we are not going to, we're not going to put up with inappropriate behavior. We're going to be respectful. We're going to include people. And if someone is being disrespectful, we can then have that conversation and get things turned around. Like something as simple as onboarding. People are talking a lot about onboarding and offboarding, and how you onboard and offboard has a direct impact on your ability to hold on to people. But how many people join organizations with the tools to do their job?
Yeah.
Most don't. Right. It takes weeks to get a laptop, a cell phone, a credit card if you're traveling, all these other things. Right. But that's also part of psychological safety, because you're not able to, on day one, contribute and do meaningful work because they haven't given you the tools to bring you on board. So right out of the gate, you already feel excluded.
It's an interesting point there, Sharon. I think a lot of companies might miss that, you know, when they're getting people onboarded. And I think, you know, one thing I like when I do this show every week is that I know that a lot of these issues that we talk about have, pardon me, an employment law perspective, right, approach. So safety in the workplace, like, you know, we employment lawyers talk to our clients about this, you know, and business owners, we say, if you don't have this, if you have a bullying workplace or toxicity or harassment or exclusion, you can be setting yourself up for constructive discharge claims or discrimination claims, lawsuits. So there's all kinds of like sort of, it's like the stick approach. It's, you know, watch out for this negative. And but what I hear you talking about and saying is that there are also perhaps some positives to, in terms of productivity or connection, just some we've also talked about when you were leading up to your, you know, introduction earlier on the show. So, but I hear what you're saying. I think it's an excellent point about just the, you know, why we need this foundation of psychological safety. I'm wondering if, like, you see an issue, let's say, when people are fearful of being, like, shamed or rebuked or punished for speaking out. You know, what is that? How does that, like, negatively hurt? I know it hurts a company from a legal point of view. How do you think it hurts them in terms of productivity and turnover and those kind of things?
Well, a perfect example of that is NASA and the Challenger. Because the engineers didn't want them to move forward. They didn't want the launch to happen. But because of the lack of psychological safety, they were shut down. Their opinions weren't paid attention to. So a disaster happened. So what happens with psychological safety when it's not safe to speak up? Is people, they navigate around things or they learn not to say anything because their opinion is not valued. So then they hide the mistakes and they hide the mistakes or they don't speak up. And so the organizations find themselves in these situations that could have been avoided. So I found it was interesting when I was at CH Twin Hill, I had an organizational role and a project role at the same time. At the organization was, you know, they weren't winning work, so it was a hard time for them. And if you made a mistake at the organizational level, you weren't told what that mistake was, and you weren't given the opportunity to fix it. You were just removed. At the same time, I'm working on a project in a role where I've thrown so far out of my comfort zone, I can hardly breathe. Initially, it was a phenomenal learning opportunity. And if you made a mistake, you were told what that mistake was, and then you were asked to fix it. So here I am in these two polar opposite cultures at exactly the same time. And one is fostering through the psychological safety, learning and growth, and the other one isn't.
So true, Sharon. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. You know, the Challenger is a powerful example. I must have read that or heard that somewhere along the line over the years, or maybe it just didn't stick top of mind. But like, I think for our listeners tonight, you know, if you're out there listening to the show every week and you run a business, you have employees, you know, it's that, it's so important, I think, to let them know that, you know, mistakes can be shared and it can be learning experiences. I think, you know, I think too often employers might think, well, that makes me quote unquote soft or quote unquote not, you know, in charge. So they, but I agree with you. I think I've seen in law firms over the years, I've been had my practice for a long time now, but when I first started out, it was at a prominent Park Avenue firm. I like to joke that they had the prestige of a big firm, but not the salary. That's another story, another day. But people were very adept at hiding their mistakes because of that same fear. And it just does not bode well because eventually, either something's going wrong and it's not being fixed, or something is just, there's no chance for growth and communication. So I'm really glad you're talking about this, you know, like, hey, this is what we need as a foundation, right? We need to be able to share about mistakes and learn from them and have transparency and communication is what I'm, that's what I'm hearing. Is that right?
I think there's another piece of that too, is that without psychological safety, there's no creativity and innovation. Because being innovative and creative, you can't do that if you don't feel safe. It's really hard to do that. Yes. And so what happens in these organizations that you know, have more creatives. If that is being shut down, then the resources that are needed to do some of these projects are not articulated correctly. So you end up not with the project to solve the problem you were hoping to do because you haven't got all the right pieces together. And that's another piece of psychological safety, the ability to speak up. You actually get the right resources with the right people in the right area. And what happens is you actually save money.
Interesting. You save money in terms of?
Because I'm sure you've been on projects where we're going to try this, and then we're going to try this, and we're going to try this. And after three tries, they bring someone in that a few of the people in the beginning thought of bringing in, but that was shut down. So they bring those people in, and then they find the way forward, but they spent three times as much money because it took them that long to get there.
Oh, I see. Interesting point. That combined with like turnover and such, but you know, mistakes can multiply and go, and if they're not fixed right away, and then you might also have to bring in people that, you know, perhaps you maybe were shut down from bringing in the first place. I think that's a sort of an interesting point too. You know, when you talk about mistakes being covered up or shared, you mentioned the Challenger. I think about Y2K. And I remember reading somewhere that, you know, there were some, like, I think computer data type, you know, engineers and computer scientists who someone I think discovered along the way, many years before we all talked about Y2K, that the way things are programmed with the last two digits, certain, I think, systems, I don't know the exact details, but that they recognize that, hey, you know, what'll happen in 1999 when we switch over to the year 2000? What's going to, and I think they were fearful to bring it up in certain industries, and they're fearful of losing their jobs. But then, of course, this went unchecked or unspoken about for many years until it created like a worse problem. You know, it's like if you make a mistake and you don't address it, it's like if you leave, you know, milk out by mistake, if you leave it there for an hour, 3 hours, it kind of smells. Leave it there for 4 days, you know, it's like the smell will get. So I think my point is the psychological safety is such an interesting way to nip like bigger problems in the bud. And I think I'm glad we're having this conversation about this. You know, really, I think it's a good point to be discussing nowadays.
Completely agree.
Yeah. You know, excellent. Absolutely. And I also have seen this too. Like, you're, you know, talking about how I think people, you know, can if they feel safe to be heard, they're more creative, right? That creativity gets shut down when safety shut down. I think that's very true. A lot of creativity happens when one feels like they're not going to be judged for being, for coming up with an idea, you know, like not like told that stupid or, you know, or put down. And I think safety can be more than just fear of, you know, angry words or shouting. It could be fear of, you know, being held up to ridicule or being embarrassed, you know, among one's coworkers. So interesting, I think, to have that point of view.
It is very interesting.
Yeah. You know, Sharon, we believe it or not, it's always shocking to say this, we're at our next commercial break. So when we come back, we'll talk more about psychological safety, the foundation for productivity in the workplace. And we'll talk with Sharon Summerfield about some of the tools and strategies she used with her clients to build this valuable foundation. So stick around. You're listening to Talk Radio NYC and Employment Law Today. And we will be right back.
Howdy, I am Joseph Franklin McElroy, host of the new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
Are you passionate about the conversation around racism? Hi, I'm Reverend Dr. TLC, host of the Dismantle Racism Show, which airs every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc. Join me and my amazing guests as we discuss ways to uncover, dismantle, and eradicate racism. That's Thursdays at 11 o'clock a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a small business trying to navigate the COVID-19 related employment laws? Hello, I'm Eric Sauver, employment law business law attorney and host of the new radio show, Employment Law Today. On my show, we'll have guests to discuss the common employment law challenges business owners are facing during these trying times. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to Employment Law Today. Again, I'm your host, Eric Sauver. I'm an employment law business law attorney here tonight with my guest, Sharon Summerfield, our guest tonight. Sharon is a well-being coach and founder of the Nourish Executive. She's also a certified breath coach and nutritionist as well. And Sharon, really great to have this topic that we're discussing tonight, this idea of psychological safety in the workplace. Glad we're having this conversation here.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that struck me is just the idea that you need certain things in place as a foundation. What I'm hearing from you and all that you're talking about tonight, I'm getting the impression that psychological safety is not something you can put sort of fifth or sixth on the list when you're doing team building or productivity hacks. And I wonder if you can maybe speak to why that is.
Psychological safety actually needs to be fostered in your organization. It isn't a checklist. Mm-hmm. It isn't like we're going to create a conference room and have yoga mats in it. Mm-hmm. That's not psychological safety. Yeah. Or have a nap room, or we're going to have a special coffee machine. That's not psychological safety. So psychological safety has to be part of how you do business. Mm-hmm. And then one of the things I like to say, long time before I heard about psychological safety, was that how we treat each other, our colleagues, is how we're going to treat our stakeholders, our clients, and our shareholders. Mm-hmm. So by fostering greater psychological safety, it's almost like we start creating a roadmap. So if we have a value of including people, which is part of psychological safety, we are going to include the right people to make the decision. Like if we're setting up a meeting, we're losing millions and millions of dollars of our meetings being poorly planned. So if we have the right people around the table to make the decision and part of a planning process, mm-hmm. on how you do, so everyone, it's safe to learn, it's safe to contribute, and it's safe to challenge the status quo, which are all the fundamentals of psychological safety, mm-hmm. we're going to actually improve our decision-making. And then people will be more present in our meetings and be able to make better decisions.
Yeah, they'll be able to challenge the status quo without fear of retribution or being shut down. And that's interesting. An interesting point you make, Sharon, along with the point you made about how we treat each other as colleagues, for example, managers, how we treat our stakeholders, our subordinates, et cetera. I think that's an excellent point. And because I was thinking about this before the show tonight, thinking about the topic and, you know, thinking about the fact that, you know, we need to model as much as we talk, because we can have lots of, I mean, I write employee handbooks and policies as part of my job. So I know there can be all the right words in the policies about we foster diversity, inclusion, safety, no bullying, et cetera. And that's great. And that's important to have communicated. But if employees are watching and seeing a different reality than what's in writing, they think, oh, it's just talk. And I think what I'm hearing maybe is that we need to walk the walk of psychological safety, not just talk the talk, not just have, you know, an HR policy handed out.
It needs to be. Because in some organizations, HR isn't actually part of the business. And this is also, you know, another conversation that the HR leaders that are able to, you know, to influence change, mm-hmm. Understand the business and are part of the business. Mm-hmm. So it's really key that our leaders are modeling. If we believe that psychological safety is a value and, you know, we want to be inclusive and diversity, inclusion, we don't want to exclude anyone. Mm-hmm. Our leaders need to be modeling this, because if the leaders aren't modeling it, yes, our teams can try and do it, but they're going to only be able to go so far.
Absolutely. I know from an employment law point of view that often HR is supposed to be the sort of first frontier to triage employment relations issues before it gets to my desk as an employment lawyer. But if HR doesn't feel safe within the organization, then they're certainly not making the employees feel safe when they come to them with an issue. And employees can read that and pick up on it, I find, very quickly. I think is one point, you know, interesting to make there. Yeah, I think this is great. You know, I'd love it if you, Sharon, if you wouldn't mind, could you kindly maybe walk us through, take us through some of the tools and strategies that you use with your client business owners and leaders to help them to enhance psychological safety?
One of the things that I hear a lot is, and I'll use an example with the last not-for-profit that I was part of, but I hear a lot is, my calendar is not my own. So the minute someone's saying, my calendar is not my own, how can they actually show up as their best selves? Because part of psychological safety is also being able to say no. Because everything we're saying yes to, we're saying no to something else. So I was working as an executive assistant, and there was a director, and she started really micromanaging. And there's, like, when you start noticing behaviors that are not how people normally operate, these are where usually we need to sit down and have a conversation. So we started this conversation, and one of the things I like to do is, like, let's see, are you getting close to your true priorities? What do those true priorities look like? And what do you think those barriers are? So we started having this conversation. Her staff started dropping by. They got involved in the conversation. Nice. So we actually found some ways, because in part of being psychologically safe, you need to be able to delegate to other people. In some cultures, you always have to be seen. If you're not seen, they don't believe that you're working. And so that wasn't the situation where we were, but that was one of the roadblocks that was stopping her from engaging her staff more and delegating more. Mm-hmm. So she started to delegate more. And what happened, this ended up taking on a whole department-wide lens. Mm-hmm. Psychological safety was present, but we revamped a lot of things that we were doing. And one of the things I really encourage people to do is get back to the basics of meeting planning. Mm-hmm. If you're invited to a meeting and there's no agenda 48 hours prior to the meeting, decline it. And the other piece is, we need boundaries. You know, I'm going to allocate, you've allocated 45 minutes for this meeting. At the end of the 45 minutes, say, I'm sorry, that's all the time I have. I need to, and we, part of that is psychological safety, because we need to be able to speak up. Yes. Because in a lot of environments, I mean, particularly during COVID, people were changing when their meetings started so they could actually make it to the bathroom. They had the inability to speak up. And that's a really big piece of psychological safety.
The ability to speak up. Absolutely. Yep. 100%. So it sounds like a tool is you use is to help clients, business owners, management to understand the need for those boundaries, including ones that at first blush, you know, some people listening tonight might think, wait, I'm going to give people the ability to decline a meeting, it'll be chaos and anarchy. And I think the truth is, that's sort of a slippery slope, catastrophic thinking way to look at things. Like, if I give people that kind of, you know, power, to be free, you know, it'll be chaos, everyone shutting down left and right. But the truth is, I believe most people want to do their job and do it well and be successful at it. And so they're not going to turn down meetings. You know, you can trust adults, right, to act like grownups. It's not like, you know, they're in third grade and you say to them, you can eat whatever you want for lunch, and they're going to say candy and ice cream, you know, or second grade or something like that.
I
hear that. I think it's an interesting tool there, and interesting boundaries and freedom over the calendar. Who would have thought that ties into safety? But I see how it does.
Well, and there's another piece, and coming in, like, because I was part of the team too, I could see the behavior changing. And we talked about this in the early days of the Gateway program. Mm-hmm. So the Gateway program was a $3+ billion infrastructure project mm-hmm. in the Lower Mainland in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And infrastructure projects, you know, quite often there's longer hours, but typically they don't last for 10 years. So mm-hmm. we started having conversations that we need to keep an eye on each other. And that's mm-hmm. part of it. If we need to keep an eye on each other when people are working, mm-hmm. if we see that, you know, their first email, say, comes in at 6 o'clock in the morning and they're still sending messages at 1 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. We need to, part of that is having conversations. Are you okay? Yeah. I'm worried about you. Mm. Do you need to take some time off? What can I help you with something? Can I take something off your desk? Mm-hmm. And start to normalize that conversation, because mm-hmm. in reality, asking for help and taking a break is a strength, not a weakness.
100% on that. Yes, I agree wholeheartedly, Sharon, with that. That's a good point to make. And I think for business owners, whether you listening tonight feel like you don't feel safe taking those breaks, setting boundaries for yourself with your partner, business partners, with your investors, with your employees, or if you're an employee watching and maybe listening tonight and you feel, hey, I wish I could do this with my employer. I can set boundaries, take breaks. It's a good point also you raised, Sharon, about keeping an eye on people, noticing those things, like noticing, you know, who's sending emails at 3 a.m. And I remember I had a client once like that. She would send emails at 3:14 a.m., 4:26 a.m., and then she would be ready for an 8 a.m. call to discuss her case or her matter. And I'd see her schedule throughout the day. And I asked her at some point, you know, so-and-so, how are you getting enough, you know, sleep, enough rest, you know, because I thought this might lead to, you know, some kind of burnout. And sadly, mm-hmm. you know, years later it did. And I think she's a lot healthier now. But, you know, I'm an attorney of hers, so I don't feel unsafe in pointing that out. It's a point of concern. But I think it's important that, you know, employers feel they can actually ask that question and ask it in a way that's not sort of accusatory or shaming, which is sort of like at a concern, right? Yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah.
From a place of caring. And that's why, you know, investing in the relationship from that place of inclusion and wanting to help each other. Mm-hmm. But it's also a great way to, one of the things I talk about is, when was the last time you booked your annual vacation for the rest of the year? Mm-hmm. Book it. And then look at who can cover some of your work while you're away, so you can actually have that break and not think or talk about work. And then that can actually start feeding into your succession planning.
Hmm. Yeah. You've got elements of personal growth and balance in there. And I keep hearing about, there's a communication, I feel like, point to all this, right? It's the more people feel, I'm hearing, open or comfortable, rather, being open, comfortable sharing what's really going on for them in the workplace. And I think, you know, we need to model that, not just say it, but actually like live it, model it for your employees, you know, model, it's like parenting, you know, like, you know, I have a 2-year-old son, 2 and almost 3 in the summer, in August, but, and I know, I learned from people that, like, kids will watch you as much as they'll listen to you. So, you know, and they'll watch how you act. I got the lesson once when I was about 6 months ago, I think my son was like almost 2.5 and he was trying to get the iPad to work because he's a tech genius and I love it. And I heard him go, oh, this little voice, oh, come on, man. And I thought, where do you get that from? And then I thought about all the times, like when I'm on the phone with Verizon getting cut off 4 times, going, oh, come on, man. Or when I'm on, you know, at a light and someone like didn't, a traffic jam, like, oh, come on, man. And I'm not talking to him, but he hears that. And I remember it was a big lesson to me, like, wow, you know, I'm always careful what I say, but I have to really watch like my own attitudes. And I think that's maybe what employers, not to infantilize our workers, but hey, if you're an employer listening, you know, make sure your workers like see you treating yourself well and treating others well.
Yeah. You have to take care of yourself first. You got to put the oxygen mask on yourself before you can help someone else.
So true, Sharon. So true. You know, we're actually at our third commercial break. It does go so quickly. I hope the audience is is also enjoying this interesting, fast-paced conversation. So you're listening to Employment Law Today with my guest, our guest tonight, Sharon Summerfield on Talk Radio NYC. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
All pet lovers.
Pet Avengers, assemble!
On the Professionals and Animal Lovers show, we believe the bond between animal lovers is incredibly strong. It mirrors that bond between pets and their owners. Through this program, we come together to learn, educate, and advocate.
Join us live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, folks. Oh, hold on a second there. Welcome back to Employment Law Today. I'm still your host, Eric Sauver. I'm still an employment law and business law attorney, and still here with our guest tonight, our guest Sharon Summerfield, the Nourish Executive. Sharon's talking about this issue of knowing, establishing, maintaining psychological safety in the workplace. And just really great conversation so far, Sharon, I have to say.
Good. I'm enjoying it.
Great. I don't have to say, I will say, I want to say, it's really, really something, you know, that expression always makes you laugh a bit. But so, you know, I'm wondering maybe in our sort of last question here to discuss, if you can tell us, like, how does the Nourish Executive differentiate itself from other well-being coaches and mentors who work with business leaders?
I, you know, as we were talking about putting, you have to put the oxygen mask on yourself first. Mm-hmm. I really encourage people. We hear all about, you know, all the books on burnout, or all these people are saying you got to self-care. But self-care isn't something that you schedule once a year. I really encourage people that I'm talking to and working with, they look at ways that they can invest in their self-care each and every day. Maybe that's something is adding transition time between your meetings. Maybe it's you get outside and go for a walk. Or maybe you have a phone call that you turn into a walking meeting, but you find those ways to nourish your well-being. Yes. So I like to use the lens of be nourished in all you do. Mm. Are you actually involved in work that is nourishing you? Mm. Or is it sucking, for lack of a better word, sucking the life out of you? Because we've all been involved in work at that, like that at some point in our lives. So the lens of, you know, be nourished in all you do is one of the ways I like to differentiate myself. And it's looking at the whole person. It's not just looking at what they're eating, the supplements they're taking, how it's looking at all these different components and also their relationship with technology. Mm. And, you know, when it comes to psychological safety, then how we're engaging with our teams, are we actually having a conversation around what the core hours are going to be when we're going to work with our team, mm-hmm. and defining what a true emergency looks like. We've got all these tools to connect, and we've got our cell phones. We've got our messaging from all these different platforms. We've got email.
Yes.
But what is a true emergency? And how are we going to connect with each other when that true emergency comes up? And unless we actually define that, it can turn into almost anything. And that's where the psychological safety piece comes into place, is that my hope is we're going to transition away from this idea, I have to see you. I need to log into your computer to see that you're actually working. Mm-hmm. To, I've hired you because I know you've got the skills and the expertise to do this work. Maybe it's a contract role, maybe it's an organizational role, but I trust you.
Right.
I trust you to do the work. And we're focused on the outcomes, not the amount of time you're sitting in front of the screen. So I'm hoping we're going to transition to more of that. And that's a key piece of psychological safety.
Yeah, the vote of confidence, right? I trust you. I believe you have confidence. I have confidence in you. So I don't need you to prove to me that you're actually showing up by, you know, clocking in, clocking out every time you leave to take a break or for coffee. Or, you know, I think a lot of firms are even moving away from some of those strict billable hour requirements for their associates. And I'm you know, in my firm, so it's a little different situation, but I may have to bill clients and show their revenue stream. But the idea of like a minimum, if people are getting the work done in less than that time, producing the results, a lot of firms I think are looking at that. I noticed that with generations too. A lot of recruiters and people in HR noticed that the think generational demands are changing, and I think for the better. They say that the newer generations of people in the workforce want more, I guess, trust, faith, high quality of work. If they have to choose that over more money and more dollar signs in their paycheck, they'll choose that. So not that people wouldn't want both and can have both, but I think, you know, you're talking about this very key thing, like, you know, the whole person approach, right? That's important.
And the then the cost of some of these, I call it danger pay. Because sometimes, you know, yes, you're getting paid a lot of money, but if it's at the cost of your well-being, then you're putting in all these crazy hours. Yes. How can you be present with your family like you are with your son, noticing that he's catching up? He's catching on these little phrases that you're saying. Mm-hmm. You're going to be too tired to actually notice that.
Yeah. And that's where the whole person approach comes in, doesn't it? How are you in your family role? Do you feel safe? Are you creating safety? How are you in your work role? It's like, you can't always say it's just one or the other that you work with. It sounds like you work with people in all aspects of their life, I heard you say, like the comprehensive, that's the nurture executive approach.
Yeah. And it's also, we can apply some of these skills within our families and within our personal relationships. Mm-hmm. I mean, even simple things like the use of jargon. I remember when I went to go work on an electronic health project, and they had so many acronyms and so much jargon, it took me a month to figure out what they were saying. Right. So that's actually a form of exclusion.
Yes.
So if we're bringing people together and think about family situations where a couple of people are talking and no one else can contribute, we've excluded other people. So how can we foster that in a different way?
Absolutely, Sharon. I think that's what I'm hearing. There is definitely a distinguishing aspect of what you do, because I've heard people talk about doing this type of work in going into the workplace or going into the home life, you know, the family dynamic. But I'm hearing your approach of sort of approaching this from all angles and making sure people feel safe at work. Because if you're not, it's going to drain you and show up in your personal life. And if you're not taking care of yourself personally, you might not be able to show up for your work either. Really great stuff. You know, believe it or not, we are about 3 minutes away from the end of our show. Time again.
Wow.
Fun. Yeah, it really does go. So I want to turn the mic over to you to give us, like, say, you know, a couple minutes of just how do people contact you? Any website, any workshops you have going on? Like, what if you want to promote? The floor is yours.
So you can, my website is nourishedexecutive.ca. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Instagram. I'm the Nourished Executive. Mm-hmm. Facebook is Nourished Exec, and Twitter is Nourished Exec as well. Okay. So I'm probably more active on LinkedIn. Yes. So anyone that wants to reach out, please talk about different ideas around psychological safety and ways that you can be nourished in all you do. This has been an absolute joy to spend time with you, Eric. And, you know, we really just kind of skimmed the surface on psychological safety. So what I like to say to people, be kind with yourself, be patient with yourself, and be nourished in all you do.
Thank you, Sharon. That's, you know, really, I think, wise words there to take away. It's great to have those parting words on the show. And yeah, I think, you know, you shared your website, Facebook, LinkedIn, all those, you know, I think really helpful to have. And I want to thank you for being on the show tonight, for talking about this topic with such authenticity and, you know, just sharing your own experiences. It really, I think, helps when our audience can listen. And I hope that people can take in what Sharon's saying, what we're talking about here, and recognize that this is a process. And I think life's a process, you know, and I'm glad that you have that, you know, and people know any upcoming events that you might have and or the next week or so?
Not at this point, but we are heading into summer. So not at this point, but I tend to share things that are coming up on social media and also put them on our website. But I'm in a trade show at the end of September here on Vancouver Island in Nanaimo, if anyone's listening from Vancouver Island. So yeah, but please to share any upcoming events in the coming weeks.
Thank you, Sharon. We're out of time, but I'll just say thank you once again, Sharon Sternfield, for being on the show. Stay tuned for Gateway to the Smokies, a great show at 6 p.m. You're listening to Talk Radio NYC, and I'm your host of Employment Law Today. My name is Eric Sauber. Tune into Employment Law Today Tuesday nights from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. right here on Talk Radio NYC. So once again, Sharon, thank you so much for being
here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Here we go.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Are you on edge? Hey, we live in challenging, edgy times, so let's lean in. I'm Sandra Bargeman, the host of The Edge of Every Day, which airs each Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc. Tune in live with me and my friends and colleagues as we share stories and perspectives about pushing boundaries and exploring our rough edges. That's The Edge of Every Day on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Uninformed about menopause and how it impacts on your life? Hi, I'm Pat Duckworth, women's health strategist and host of the Hot Women Rock radio show, empowering women leaders at menopause. Join me every Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. UK time on talkradio.nyc for interviews with inspirational women who will share their top tips to rock your world.
In a post-COVID world, you may have many unanswered questions regarding your health. Are you looking to live a healthier lifestyle? Do you have a desire to learn more about mental health and enhance your quality of life? Or do you just want to participate in self-understanding and awareness? I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each Thursday, I will tackle these questions and work to enlighten you. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will be Frank About Health to advocate for all of us.
Host of the new new podcast, Gateway to the Smokies. It airs on talkradio.nyc every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7. Every episode is dedicated to memorable experiences in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park and surrounding areas. This show features experts and locals who will expound upon the richness of culture, history, and adventure that awaits you in the Smokies. Tune in every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 7 on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.